Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's quarterfinal time, baby, and England are ready to go. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Friday, the 2nd of July. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Welcome along, ladies and gentlemen. We've had 2 days off of the Euros and I've bloody missed it. And now it's quarterfinal time and I'm feeling very, very excited about it all.
There's a lot to be excited about. And it's good to have Andy Brassel back. I know he was back yesterday, but it's the first time I've seen the great man for a wee while.
Me too.
So I'm still enjoying the novelty of that, which will, of course, wear off by about half time in this show.
At the latest.
Yeah, exactly.
I would think, I'd forgotten how loud you are, Jules.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, it's nice. It's comforting.
How have you been? We've missed you.
Yeah, I've been good. It's been nice to be in the heart of the tournament. Now it's nice to be home.
Oh. Have you missed the this, not just the loudness, but the sheer size of the ego from Bree?
What? Where's this come from?
Earlier on, when I said, "Oh, who would you compare yourself to?" When I said you were the first lady to ramble, you said, "Probably Michelle Obama."
You know, you've got to aim high in life,
yeah.
Luke.
I would say I've missed the ego, but it was poking me through the window of my hotel room in Budapest because it's that enormous. Yeah. It covers Europe.
Buggers. Yeah. No, what an amazing time you've had though, Andy. I've loved seeing everything you've been up to on social media as well. Fans in the stadiums over there. It's just been brilliant to watch. I know. And I was fortunate enough to be in Wembley the other day for the win against Germany, and I tell you what, our fans were incredible.
Yeah, so Vish was saying that he's never heard a reaction like it when Grealish came on.
No, me either.
Right.
Honestly, there were two moments in the game against Germany that I was like, wow. One of them was when Jack Grealish came on before he came on, they showed him on the big screen, sat obviously as a sub.
You could actually hear that on the telly. And you could hear the reaction to that on the telly.
People were clapping him when he came on the screen as a substitute, sat on the bench.
Yeah.
And then when he actually stripped off to come on and he actually walked out onto the pitch, it was the hugest cheer. That was one moment. The other moment was when Müller was through on goal and he missed. The entire Wembley erupted and jumped and screamed as if we'd just scored. It was insane.
Yeah. I think that Thomas Müller miss might be one of the most seismic events in British cultural history. Certainly English cultural history.
Another one that Yuri Geller is responsible for.
Well, apparently. No,
yeah. Although we know the truth because Marcus predicted in our WhatsApp group that it would be 2-0 to England before. So it wasn't Yuri Geller, it was Yuri Speller.
Exactly. He's having an amazing predicting tournament.
We'll have to
see what happens
when the
official predictions come out.
Still got none right in 4-4 though, has he?
He's not got an amazing record on that.
Maybe we should try him on doing all 4-4.
Maybe we should.
Maybe that's the best thing.
Maybe we should. Yuri Geller won it for England. He apparently shouted 1-2-3 bend as Thomas Müller bared down on goal.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
You know, all I'm saying is,
did he bend?
You can say that afterwards, can't you? Anyone can say that. If you had said before the game, when Thomas Müller goes through on goal, I'm going to shout 1-2-3 Ben, he's going to put it wide of the post. That would be, I would say, at least marginally more impressive.
I mean, if you want to talk about egos, I'm going to claim that the reason Müller missed it is because I was behind that goal and I shouted, miss! And he missed.
And you had a bright pink suit on.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably so, put him off.
Great suit. 100%. Great suit.
Thanks. Yeah. Why, thank you.
Yeah, it was good.
It was such a good day. And now England find themselves ready for a quarterfinal tomorrow. I'm super excited for
this. What suit have you got in mind for tomorrow? Yeah. I mean, you must have thought out the outfit for tomorrow, right?
She's going to do the full Union Jack. Like she's got a Union Jack trouser suit that she's got left over from the Brexit campaign. She's going to wear that.
Jerry Halliwell,
stolen,
he made it.
Yeah.
Jerry Halliwell. Do the Jerry Halliwell. That would be brilliant.
I would as well.
Would you?
I have actually worn my England top on Australian TV. I wore it the other night after the Germany win.
Nice. For Euro Brekkie Wrap.
Don't you get quite a lot of stick off the production stuff? I mean, aren't they quite sort of.
They're all very Aussie and don't want us to win.
Yeah. We'll get a lot of stick for.
You've got to represent, right?
Exactly.
We'll get a lot of stick for confusing. The British stuff with the English stuff, I suppose. But anyway, that's life. That's the hand we've been dealt. But anyway, it's the quarterfinals. It's exciting, right?
Yeah, I'm buzzing for it. How excited are you? Where are you watching it? What's your plans?
I'll just watch it at home. I've got a couple of errands to run.
Oh, you
tomorrow.
Loser.
I know. I'll basically just do whatever my wife says. And that's going to involve me not getting back to the house till a little bit later, so I'll watch it at home.
Does she like fully support England, even though she's not from England?
Yeah, and Italy. She likes Italy as well.
Ah.
Yeah. So, but I'm excited for the game. I'll definitely watch it at home. I have a concern. The only really real concern I have, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, is this idea of England perhaps being hot house flowers, but they've played at Wembley the whole time and it'll be a bit different for them.
I tell you, that's the most references they've had in a week for a very long time.
You don't know the hot house flowers are, do you, Jules?
I didn't even get the reference.
They're like an 80s band. Well, hot house flowers,
Come on, sing a couple of lines.
I don't really know any of their songs, to be honest. I always get them confused with Crowded House.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. So hot house flowers are like...
Neil Finn is fuming right now.
They've been in their protected environment the whole time, and when you take them out into the wild, so to speak, they don't flourish because they're not used to it, because they've been mollycoddled, right? Mm. It's kind of like, actually, that's mean. I'm not going to say that. I wondered
what that was.
Yeah, it's not about you guys. I wondered if they'd be able to deal with that. But ultimately, really, I've kind of convinced myself now that this group of players are so focused, are so kind of attentive to the detail and aware of their role and their position and what's going to be expected of them. I don't think it should be too much of a problem.
And Southgate has made it so, hasn't he? And I think it's a really important thing to absorb, like the fact that players like a script. They like to know what's going to happen. They like to be told everything. And so far, it's all unfolded exactly really as Southgate said it would. And he's been great at like chopping out all the noise from elsewhere. And I don't see any reason why he wouldn't continue to do that and why he wouldn't believe that he would continue to do that.
Yeah. And I think they obviously celebrated pretty vociferously after the game. Family were there. It's a big deal because of the year that...
I think so they should as well.
Of course.
With the amount of fans, there was certainly a different feel. I've been to a few matches now where fans have been back in stadiums, a couple of those being at Wembley, including the FA Cup final. And it was a different feel against Germany. Mm. There was obviously, it's the most fans that we've had at Wembley since. And the euphoria, I don't think I've ever experienced euphoria like it in a stadium, because it was bar a very small section of German supporters, pretty much all the fans that were in there all wanted England to win and were all so ecstatic, because let's face it, going into that match against Germany, it was built up. It's such an iconic fixture and it was built up so much that we almost were expecting to fail in a way. And that if we had lost to Germany, I don't think it would have necessarily been a massive surprise. So the fact that we overcame that and went through, the feeling in the stadium was like no other experience I've had as a football fan in a stadium. It was just amazing.
That's
so,
the thing, isn't it? It was really about England overcoming a huge mental hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the players really, but the nation, the football culture. Because on paper, I think if you go back, and Marcus talked about it before, I talked about it before, if England sticks to the script, if Southgate gets it right, which did, they're always going to beat Germany, I think. But sort of intellectually knowing it and feeling it are two totally different things.
Totally.
I guess that the thing that I think back to is when it felt big when England beat Germany in Euro 2000. when Shearer scored out there. That felt absolutely huge. Now, as we know, those were two not very good England and Germany sides, and it was very much like two bold men fighting over a comb, and neither of them came out of the group. And I'm not suggesting it's going to go the same way, because England are a much better side now, and you know that the way is open in the competition to an extent. But I do think that there has to be a collective reset, because, and I think Rome kind of helps with that, really, because rather than going back to Wembley and going, right, we're back on it, come on.
I think it's a new challenge.
Yeah, the fact that there aren't really going to be many England fans there, I think makes a huge difference. And I think Southgate will have steeled them for that.
Yeah, and I would just add that, you know, it's fine to celebrate and to have that cathartic release because you've exorcised something that, as Andy rightly says, permeates the English football culture. But Southgate and I think it was Rice after the game were both quite pointedly saying, look, we need to, it doesn't mean anything if we don't.
It's important for your leaders to say that, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. But I think what you find with top professional footballers, like past and present, the ones who currently play and will still be doing it, and the ones who have played will say they're always like this, is they're always looking for the next game. What's the next game? What are we doing next? They want to be good all the time. And so the idea that they won't reset the next day, I think is fanciful for this group of players, because I think they've got an identity, and they've got an identity that isn't just about how they play on the pitch, which isn't to everyone's taste. We've seen, in my opinion, you know, my personal opinion, a kind of unbelievable amount of entitlement from a certain amount of people who watch football and cover football for a living about what they expect from England, given what they've been able to achieve so far. I mean, you literally couldn't make it up. I mean, we're in an international major tournament and England are in the quarterfinals having not conceded a goal, and people are still complaining about how they play.
But I think what we don't realise sometimes is that conversation is had in every country. Like French people will say, why don't, when they won the World Cup, they're like, why don't we play more flamboyant football? When Portugal won the Euros in 2016, it's like, yeah, come on, can't we play a bit as well? It's everywhere.
Portugal in 2016 was a bit underwhelming. Yeah, well, I mean, let's be fair. I mean, it's absolutely fair.
Nanny's tournament. That's all you need to know. Nanny's tournament.
They won like two games.
And Ricardo Quaresma.
And anyway, so the point is that I think they've got an identity not just on the pitch, but as well off the pitch. They're a really tight-knit group. They carry themselves with a lot of dignity, a lot of class. And Southgate is responsible for that because he set the example of restoring an incredible amount of dignity to that squad. I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit off-air before the show. You know, think of what happened 2006, 2010. You look back at it, a lot of good players, and I respect those players for what they achieved in their career, particularly for their clubs. But it's a bit of a joke, really. Mm. It's a bit of a joke, and it's not like that now. Every single player in the squad goes and does media stuff. They seem humble, they seem focused, they seem dedicated to what they want to do, and they feel genuinely, I think, particularly after the 18 months that everyone's had, that they're carrying the flag for a nation and they take it seriously.
Yeah, and
that's a really great thing.
That's absolutely huge, I think, under Southgate. He's someone who makes the players understand what representing your country means, but in a very different way to previous regimes have. Mm. By being polite, by being open, by being approachable, by being decent to everyone you work with.
He's just classy, isn't he?
Yeah, Southgate? Definitely.
Every interview he does, you just sense there's so much respect both ways, if that makes sense. And I just feel like there's a really feel-good factor. And when we talk about that kind of like restoration and that resetting off the back of the Germany game, I think that from a bigger picture, 100%, I agree that playing this game in Rome tomorrow will help with that. But also, I think as well as the bigger picture and the whole squad and the whole feel around the England team, there's also a little bit of an opportunity for a reset for someone like Harry Kane, who's, you know, didn't score in the group stages, finally got his goal in the match against Germany. And now I feel like that's a massive weight off his shoulders and a chance for him to kick on and the players around him to maybe just, I don't know, maybe there's going to be a bit more belief in the squad now after that as well.
I think that's a really good point. I think obviously that is bred by winning games, not conceding goals, having a platform. Your big players taking chances and scoring is always a great thing. But I would also, I mean, because we've got Andy here. Andy, it'd be interesting to know what you think we can realistically expect from this Ukrainian side, because they've done well to get to the quarterfinal. It's the first time in a long time since they've done it. They've got a quite upwardly mobile, kind of interesting manager who's got an interesting story and was an amazing player, obviously. And they've also got...
And it's got an amazing history in Italy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they've got a handful of players who people listening to this will know at least fairly well in the shape of kind of Yarmolenko and Zinchenko. but also Malinovsky, who's been brilliant for Atalanta, but hasn't really maybe.
I think he's had quite a poor tournament. Yeah, really, so, they haven't really worked out how to use him less.
And they seemed really tired to me against Sweden.
Yeah, well, and they went to extra time, which is a huge bonus for us.
Yeah, and I think if you go back further than that, they completely choked in the third group game against Austria. Mm. And of all the third place teams that went through, they're comfortably the luckiest to have got through. You saw them on the pitch after that Austria game, in which, you know, they've been like decent in those first two games. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but decent. And having got themselves in an okay position, they completely choked and really sort of lit Austria's tournament from that moment as well. And the way they behaved on the pitch, Shevchenko looked absolutely beside himself at the end of that game. And they thought, we've blown it. So for them, it's a massive bonus and a massive surprise, really, to A, be in the knockout round, and B, be here. And it really went for them against Sweden with the sending off. And, you know, whether you think it was sending off or not, I would say yes. That was certainly something that went in their favour. I have thought all along that the idea of Ukraine is more sexy than the reality. I think because they were really good in the qualifiers, because they got 4 points off Portugal, because they drew with France earlier in the year at the Stade de France, which is a great result. We can sort of like, and because Shevchenko's at the helm, we can say, oh, something amazing's happening there. Whereas really, I think they're a quite good side who are probably the weakest of the eight left in the tournament.
Yeah.
And basically, when it comes to breaking down England, as you said, it's been almost chanceless so far. To me, that was one of the amazing things about the Germany game. Not that they had a couple of chances, because I think limiting Germany to like three decent chances in the game with like the sort of
I said that on the show.
Forwards
you can't reduce a team to nothing.
Is reasonable. Yeah, it's reasonable. But I think overall, it's been a pretty chanceless tournament. Malinovsky, who was amazing last season for Atalanta, particularly in the back half, they're going to have to find a way to make him front and centre. I know people will talk about Yarmolenko. He will blow hot and cold for his entire career. And also, you know what he's going to do. He's always going to come onto that left foot. Malinovsky, if there's anyone who can pick the lock, it's him. He's not shown enough in this tournament so far to suggest that it will be his day at the weekend.
Do you reckon they'll definitely start him? Because they didn't start him against Sweden.
They should do. Because England are so difficult to break down, and he's the one with the best vision of anyone in that squad. So they should play him, and they should find a way to make him front and centre.
Okay. So what you're trying to say is they're shit and we're going to beat them.
It's a paraphrase.
Look, I think the thing is that from a mental perspective, whoever is on that side of the draw does have an incredible opportunity to get to the final of the Euros. And look, I think the games tomorrow are going to be so exciting. But we are going to touch on tonight's matches in the quarterfinals in a moment after the break. But first of all, just to come away from the Euros for a moment, because there's been a couple of other football stories, managerial appointments bubbling under whilst the Euros is underway. Marco Silva going to be the new manager at Fulham. I wonder how Marcus Speller feels about that, Luke.
Has he messaged us about it? Has he messaged anyone about it?
I don't think he's
Did you call him
actually?
Marco's Speller?
Marco's Speller. But yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like, Marco Silva has not taken a job since he left Everton, which seems weird. That was 2 years ago.
I get the impression that he really wants to prove himself in England, and it's almost a bit like he feels like there's unfinished business here, because his career has been won managerially, and Andy will know more about him than I will. I've spoken to people who've played under him, said he's not an amazing, amazing coach, like a brilliant coach. I think I worked with somebody who played with him under him at Hull, and said he was a mate, unbelievable, like the best coach he's ever had.
Wow.
But he's also flattered to deceive in what he's been able to achieve, right? So that when you look at what he achieved at Everton, it's a bit like, on one hand, they had some quite nice players come through. I know Marcel Brands was part of that, and they had some kind of notable results, but it ultimately ended quite abruptly in failure. And the way that he conducted himself, if what I'm led to believe is true, at Watford, when he had his head turned and they just completely went off a cliff, I thought was a little bit embarrassing, to be honest. So, without being disrespectful to Fulham, I'm going to say what probably Fulham fans will roll their eyes when they always hear people covering Fulham. It's a nice club. They're not in the Premier League. It's a good chance for him to rebuild. I think he could go a little bit under the radar, play some nice stuff. Fulham fans will enjoy that. But ultimately, Fulham have got a recent history of at least, if not being in the Premier League, knocking on the door of the Premier League. So he's going to have to maintain that. So there is some pressure there. But I kind of think it might be quite a nice appointment all round, really.
I think it is. And I think it's good for Fulham to start again, because I know a frustration among a lot of Fulham fans is the fact that it seemed to them that they didn't really learn from the mistakes of when they came up last time. Mm. Certainly in terms of putting the squad together and recruitment. If they've got any sense, what they will let Marco Silva do is be a manager rather than just a coach. Because if you think of his background...
But do you think that plays to his strengths then?
Yes, I do. Because okay. I think you go to... He is a very good coach, you're right. But I think if you go right to the beginning of his background, his first job in football really, after playing, is when he's the sporting director of Estoril. And he gets kind of parachuted in as coach, and he has this sort of, it works for him, but it's quite an unusual way into coaching. But he's someone who understands how you can build a club, and with not particularly that much money as well, which is, I think, useful to any club in this sort of environment where we are. But I think Fulham have been, I think their squad construction has been a little bit opaquely done, I think, in the last couple of years. And it's cost them a lot of money, and it's left them in a position not to survive in the Premier League. Marco Silva is smart enough to be able to help to build the squad, and I hope he's invited to do that, because that's one of his strengths, as well as coaching. And I think with a club of that size, rather than an Everton, is something he could do quite effectively.
There we go.
Yeah.
Good news then.
There we go. Also, Jose Mourinho is meant to be unveiled as the Roma manager today. He's out in Rome, not for the England quarterfinal tomorrow.
Well, probably that as well.
He's working for TalkSport, isn't he?
He is doing some stuff. I've noticed that he's not bothered turning up to
the studio
anymore.
No, he hasn't. He's been on Zoom, hasn't he? Yeah, Zoom will do.
Will I still get paid the same? All right, I'll do it on Zoom.
I'll work from home.
Well, that means you don't even have to put any trousers on, would you?
Exactly.
The club were planning to unveil him at the Colosseum, Andy, but apparently local authorities were like, nah, mate. You're not doing
I'd
that.
Love to see him dressed up as like as a gladiator. Because he's quite small, isn't he? It'd be funny.
Is he small?
Oh, here we go again. Jules is obsessed with people's height.
No, I just... What?
Is he short, Mourinho? He's quite short, isn't he?
He's shorter than me.
Average
call
height.
Him short.
Average
really?
Height. Average height.
Like what we're talking? Does he pass the 6 foot mark?
I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
I wouldn't
Damn.
Have thought so. Yeah.
So are we talking Spanish steps rather than Colosseum instead?
I guess it must have to be, yeah.
I'd like to see him on the coast at Ostia, like Jenny and Gamora.
That would be amazing.
That would be a look, wouldn't it?
It'd be great.
Come on, this is my kingdom now.
Big scar across his cheek.
Yes. Mohawk, maybe.
Andy, you were back with the OTC team yesterday, weren't you? With Dotton and Lars on the continent. Tell us what you got up to.
Well, we talked about the fallout for France and Germany after they exited Euro 2020.
Rabiot's mum vibes?
Oh, yeah.
Because the guys covered it yesterday, but it wasn't a deep dive. Did you do a deep dive?
Yes. Well, you know, earlier when... when you were talking about what a boost it was for England's families to be at the England-Germany game, I was like biting my lip and going, keep the families away. Keep the families away. But yeah, we talk about that. We talk about the contenders that could rob England of Euro 2020 still. And Dotton and Lars are on cracking form. And it's on Football Ramble Presents.
And it's the most entertainment you can have on that kind of thing until Adrian Rabiot, Pablo Aymar and David Luiz do finally start forming that Strokes tribute band. Then we'll all be happier.
Who's drumming?
Don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Aymar's drumming.
Probably, yeah.
Right, time for a break. After this, we'll start looking ahead to tonight's two quarterfinals.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Now, a well-placed source has told me that you celebrated the win over Borussia Dortmund in the dressing room by doing an impression of Chris Kamara. Is that right?
Lambaleba Jeff. Lambaleba Jeff.
Who is that? I don't even know who that is.
Alberto Moreno.
Oh, is it Moreno? I've never heard that before.
It's incredible. That's incredible. Love that. Welcome along, ladies and gents. It is the Football Ramble with Jules, Luke and Andy. And now it's time for some of this.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch, just email show@footballramble.com.
show@footballramble.com. Tweet us as well @footballramble to get in touch. We've got this one from Charlie Salmond, who says, a few weeks ago I was out and about in sunny South London listening to The Ramble, specifically Andy giving a typically insightful bit of analysis, as he always does. And he said, I looked up from my phone and the great man himself walked right past me. I was listening to Andy whilst looking at Andy, but he wasn't speaking. All a bit surreal. I felt a bit like I was reading his mind.
You don't want to read his mind.
That's
all just
amazing.
Numbers and
did
stats.
So you didn't say hi, Charlie. Why didn't you say hi?
Why didn't you say hi?
Should have gone, Andy, I'm literally listening to you right now.
I guess it's because it felt like I was speaking already. Yeah. It's good to know I wasn't speaking to myself anyway.
Yeah.
That's relieving. Right, well, I've got some more name mix-ups here. Here's one from 44RC. Tildesley once amalgamated the Roma fullbacks of the time, Marco Cassetti and Max Tornetto, into the singular Maxi Cornetto. And there's one of George reminding us that Real Madrid probably thought Lee Carsley and Thomas Gravesen were one person. We have all been there.
Do you think they signed Gravesen because they thought he was doing the job of two players? And they had some amalgamated highlights where like it was Carsley and Gravesen. Like, bloody hell, this guy can do actually not even everything, just a bit similar stuff. Quite different.
Yeah, very possibly.
A friend of mine, Adam, who runs The Offensive, which is
you have friends.
Brilliant. Well, all right. Fucking colleague. How tall
he's
is he?
Not even a friend.
How tall is he?
He's
about 5'10". I don't know.
All right, cross him off the list.
He runs The Offensive, which is another Stack Pod, which you listen to. It's really, really funny. And he had a friend who, for the first 25 years of his life, thought Horatio Nelson, as in Trafalgar Square,
right.
Yeah, was called Nelson Scollum.
What?
He was like, oh, there's Nelson's column.
Nelson's column.
Yeah. And
oh,
he thought he was called
God.
Nelson Scollum for ages.
That is the sort of thing I'd do.
Yeah, it is a bit. 100%. Yeah, it's a bit close to home for you, Jules, isn't it?
I appreciate that. I love when other people do as stupid things as I do. show@footballramble.com. Keep your emails coming in. We love them. It is quarterfinal time tonight. Two games kicking off. They kick off at separate times, which is always good because we like to watch every single bit of the Euros. Switzerland-Spain is the first game at 5 o'clock. I feel like Spain have really kicked into gear, Andy. They've just got the momentum at the right time. They're the first team to score 5 goals in back-to-back Euro matches ever. I just can't see them not getting past Switzerland.
Yeah, but I do feel that Spain have still got quite a large capacity for shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, their games have been amazing so far. Even the ones where they weren't winning at the beginning were amazing, because seeing them create chances and not take any of them.
That Sweden game was remarkable. They could have lost that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have done, but you know what? I think it was overlooked in those first couple of games where they, or particularly Morata, was struggling to score, that they did create a lot. They created a lot in those games, and it's all clicked. It does feel to me that Luis Enrique is very much putting on a blindfold, having images of a lot of his players on a dartboard and throwing the darts and then taking the blindfold off and saying, all right, that's my team. It's very, very difficult to follow his thinking so far. I was very surprised that Gerard Moreno didn't start against Croatia, although Ferran Torres came in and did a really, really good job. But I think Sergio Busquets has made a massive difference as well. Just to give the side some purpose, some sort of focus, some experience, which really they don't have that much of with no Sergio Ramos and David De Gea on the bench, although he's never really been a Spain mainstay. I do feel that they're in a better place, but I don't really know what to expect from them still. I think on talent, yeah, they should go and blow Switzerland away. But then I think the amazing thing about Switzerland, you think that, I mean, I said on OTC yesterday, there was 25 minutes in the second half of that France-Switzerland game where you think no one is going to touch this level of football from France. It was so good, but it was only 25 minutes. Yeah. And they made a right mess of things. Either side of it, and Switzerland managed to stick in there. And you know, they're a team that's, I think, done really well considering that they are a solid team. They're reliable. They're very well coached. They've got more talent than people give them credit for. But I think what's the amazing thing is two of the most important players in Ricardo Rodriguez and Xherdan Shaqiri turn up into this, like really having not played that much football this season. Rodriguez has been up and down. You went on a massive run after he missed that penalty against France, didn't you?
For some absolutely negligent absolving of responsibility.
What, missing a penalty?
In that fashion, yeah.
But you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of when Brian Talbot was West Bromwich Albion manager and they missed two penalties in a home defeat to Swindon. One player had it saved and another player smacked it over the bar. And after the game, he said, right, well, I'll be fining the guy who had it saved, even though he got it on target, because I asked the players to hit it hard.
No way.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
I think with Rodriguez, I mean, obviously, first of all, that team massively dodged a bullet because the momentum swung so obviously in France against France after that penalty miss.
Yes.
It was just incredible to me they could even come out of that and go through, which they did, and they deserve credit for that. But Ricardo Rodriguez has got 85 caps for Switzerland. Right, if he's going to step up and take responsibility, I know penalties can be saved, but for me, it was a poor penalty. You've got to execute. If you don't execute, you're letting your team down effectively. Now, they've rallied around, they've done all right, and he'll start again against Spain today, and I'm sure he'll play
well. They've done more than all right. They knocked France out of the tournament.
Yeah. They've done an amazing... Okay, fine. They did an amazing thing to turn that around. Now, my point is this. The big focus in this game, as you've already sort of alluded to with Busquets, is the midfield. Now, Granit Xhaka was incredible against France. Mm. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen from him. He's suspended for this game.
Yeah,
it's big. It's big.
I think Shaqiri needs to take more responsibility as well for Switzerland.
The thing is, Shaqiri looks like a player who's not played a lot of football this season, in that he's had his little moments, particularly against Turkey, who obviously weren't very good at all this tournament. Mm. But I don't know if you've mentioned that since I've been
here. I think Vish called you a fraud.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Did he? Yeah. All right,
I agree. Hanging him out to dry.
I know Jonathan Wilson sat behind him on the plane today. So I'd have texted Jonathan, get him.
But yeah,
beg him.
If you go back to that Switzerland midfield, you talk about Shaqiri, you talk about Xhaka. Look at what they did against Italy. They got battered because they effectively playing a two in midfield because Shaqiri doesn't do any work.
No,
right?
Well, he can't at the moment.
Right. So if you take Xhaka out of that equation, you're asking a lot of Shaqiri and whoever comes in to replace Xhaka. I don't know if a Froiland plays generally, but it'll be someone else who comes in there next to him, I expect.
They'll have someone 7 out of 10 and boring to take his spot, trust me.
So Zakaria apparently will probably start. So anyway,
who's a really talented player but not really had a great season.
Right. I think the midfield battle is massive here. I think Switzerland have probably got the best goalkeeper left in the tournament, which makes a difference.
He's your pal, isn't he?
He's brilliant.
I think he's fantastic.
He's so good.
I do think Spain can be bullied. I think they can be got at, and I think particularly Laporte can have his dinner money taken every 5 minutes. So you have got a chance because Seferovic and Mbolo have been very impressive up front.
But what we need to, the thing is, if they're going to get a few chances, which is what I thought was the issue against France. Like, will they be able to take them? Because Seferovic and Mbolo, both great on their day, but not consistently. I wonder if we've had a bit too much good from them already this tournament. Yeah. But I think, Luke, what the people really want to know is, when it comes down to Swiss goalkeepers, who do you think is better out of Jan Sommer and Roman Bürki? Because you've not really been decisive on this issue.
I haven't seen Bürki play for a while, to be fair.
I'd like you to sit on the fence. Tell the people what you think.
I've been on his back. I have been on his back in the past. I rate Sommer very highly. I can't believe he's not at a really, really big club with respect to Mönchengladbach.
Yeah.
You know what? He said that the Switzerland shootout against France should be turned into a film, and that Robert De Niro should play him in the film.
Great stuff.
What a guy.
I mean, he does realise that Robert De Niro's in his 70s. Right? So I'm not really sure how that's going to play.
Belgium-Italy is the other game tonight. Oh, I can't wait for this one. 8 o'clock kickoff this. The big story in this is, of course, the fitness of Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard. They have travelled with the Belgium squad for the game, but there was no sign of them in the warm-up on Thursday morning. Roberto Martinez insisted that it could be very close for both players to be available. I mean, what do you do? You don't risk them, surely, if they're not fit.
They can't.
They can't, can they?
They can't. And they already showed, I think, if you go back to the beginning of the tournament, which is remarkable, and a huge credit to Roberto Martinez, they can actually do okay without them.
Mm.
I don't see them going into this game without De Bruyne and Eden Hazard and being sunk. I think they could be fine still.
The good news is Jason Denier's back. The Denier!
Yeah, he's but he's back. He's not going to start, is
no, he?
No,
he won't.
He won't start.
No, because they're insistent on playing 95-year-old Thomas Vermaelen.
That's the matchup here that's key for me.
The defence.
You look at Chiesa, who's probably going to come in and start, right? Mm. Immobile and Insigne. So dynamic, so busy, so quick and
nuisances, around over the place. Aren't
yeah.
they?
And up against Vertonghen, Vermaelen and Alderweireld. To me, that looks like a bit of a flashpoint. I can't think of a more positive forward in this tournament than Chiesa. Everything he does is to almost impact.
He hasn't been starting him.
He hasn't, but the impact has been incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And you talk about big players mentality-wise stepping up and wanting to make things happen. Everything Chiesa does, from what I've seen, is he thinks about being positive. Can I take on the defender? Can I do something good? I'm not going to turn inside and play an easy pass. I'm going to try and make it happen. And he's relentless with it.
Mm.
And if he does that from the start against, and he's matched up against who it'll be, if Chiesa starts on the right-hand side and it'll be Vertonghen, to me, I'll rate Vertonghen. It's a mismatch, though.
I don't think it's about the centre-backs. I think it's about the wing-backs.
So you have Hazard and Meunier.
Exploiting the pace behind them.
Yeah.
Exploiting the space behind them, because Meunier has had a really dreadful season for Dortmund. He has kind of recovered that a little bit of the Euros. But I do think defensively he can be got at. And Torgan Hazard, who's been great, is not a defender.
Yeah.
So I would expect Belgium to sit quite deep again. Don't miss it, folks.
I just think Italy are more coherent than Belgium.
What about the battle between Lukaku and Chiellini, who is going to be back for this game, Andy? God, that's going to be
tasty.
That's the thing,
tasty,
isn't
it?
I mean, if we're talking about best
who's
goalkeepers...
Who's going to bully who?
Well, I think there's only one answer to that, really, isn't there? And if you think of like the way that Belgium were able to overcome a lot of these obstacles, now I think I have defended better this tournament than people have given them credit for, give or take that first half against Denmark. The fact that they've got an incredible goalkeeper in Thibaut Courtois, and I know people have particular opinions about him from a sort of mixed time at Chelsea, where some bits were amazing and some bits were not so amazing. He's been great this last season. He's in a really good place at the moment. And Lukaku's playing his best ever as well. Mm. And if you've got a centre forward, I know we are basically, our job is to talk about the minutiae of the game. But the fact is, if you've got an incredible goalkeeper, an incredible centre forward, it can take you an awfully long way. And they've got some great players in between as well.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if Roberto Martinez is superstitious in any way. I wonder if he'll be looking back at how he prepared for that Wigan FA Cup final where he beat Mancini and thinking, I'll do the same routine again.
Yeah, I don't think Belgium are fucking Wigan, are they? Yeah. Let's be fair. I mean, geez. I was at that game. Man City fans were absolutely fuming. Fuming they were. They're fighting among themselves and all sorts.
What were you doing there?
Some of them. I was just watching the game.
Nice.
I sometimes go to games.
Yeah.
It's part of the job.
Why do you make that sound so sinister?
What? I do sometimes go to the games. Well, I don't know how tall the goal scorer was.
It's going to be good, whatever happens. The quarterfinals underway tonight, and then it's time for England to get in action tomorrow in Rome against Ukraine. More on that tomorrow with the guys. Kate, Pete and Jim are going to be back to preview tomorrow's quarterfinals and look back at what happens tonight. But before we go, it is time to quickly announce the third winner of our Euros Patreon competition. Every Friday throughout the Euros, we've been giving away a brand new TV thanks to our friends at Toshiba. And today is no exception. So, well done to Oliver Beaumont.
Hey,
congratulations, Oliver. Well done, you. There's still one more chance to win across the Euros. All you got to do is sign up for our Patreon. You can get access to all Ramble shows, ad-free, exclusive live streams, and weekly bonus episodes as well, exclusive just to you, our subscribers. So sign up, get involved, patreon.com/footballramble. Thanks for listening, guys. Andy, Luke, good to see your faces.
Likewise.
See you guys soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.